And from the KTOO newsroom, I'm Yvonne Crumry. The U.S. Forest Service is getting ready to do a major restoration project on Zarembo Island, about 15 miles west of Wrangell. But first, they need people to move their cars. Wrangell District Ranger Clint Kolarich says that the parking lot at Roosevelt Harbor has been a problem for decades. Recently, the Wrangell Ranger District got funding through a timber sale to restore the area. The project is set to take place between June 1st and the start of deer hunting season on August 1st. So, by the end of this month, vehicle owners need to move their cars to nearby parking lots at Deep Bay.
There are wooden stakes in Deep Bay with numbers on them, and we need folks to pull their vehicle straight into it. Whether they back in or pull in doesn't matter, but don't parallel park because it'll mess up the whole configuration for everyone else.
Zarembo Island has miles of forest road and is a popular spot for hunting, camping, and other recreational use. Over the years, old vehicles have accumulated at the harbor parking area. Kolarich says the project contractor will remove any abandoned vehicles at Roosevelt Harbor before starting the restoration work. The last thing they want is for someone to lose their hunting rig, Kolarich says.
It truly is a restoration project as far as the hydrologic flow. And so it'd be really nice to get new material brought in and get the drainage correct and get the drainage ditches and the catchment pond functional again, and then be able to have a real organized place for people to be able to return those working vehicles to. But then in the future, that way we can help work with people to help prevent this problem from reoccurring. And I, there's no one here that wants to have this problem. You know, it happened over decades. We're there. Let's put it behind us and kind of start fresh. And that's what the whole project is about, other than restoring the hydrologic flow, but also to be a little more accountable to the land that we all manage.
Kolarich says that vehicle owners should get in contact with the Forest Service in Wrangell. That way, the agency can match a name and number with a car and avoid the same issue with abandoned rigs in the future.
If all you got time to do is you're over there and move it, get it moved. But if you got time to do that, you should have time to be able to give us a call and hopefully stop in and get a sticker so that we can help track the vehicle.
The project hasn't been awarded to a contractor yet. Bids are due back May 23rd. Contact the Wrangell Ranger District at 907-874-2323 with questions or to identify a vehicle parked at Roosevelt Harbor. In other news, today's 21-year-olds were just 12 when Soldotna Republican Senator Peter Michicki first started working on rewriting existing restrictions on Alaska's alcohol industry. For a decade, his bill remained in limbo as bar and brewery owners pored over disagreements. But this week, the bill cleared the Alaska legislature. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Supporters of the bill say it's a long-awaited, much-needed change to how the industry works.
I mean, we were antiquated. We're talking 1986 is the last time this was done.
Doug Hogue of Kenai River Brewing in Soldotna has been watching as the bill made its convoluted way toward the finish line, at times working with Michicki and testifying before the legislature. He's excited about updates to the regulatory approval process. He says applying to the state's Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office for liquor licenses has been somewhat of a nightmare for new businesses.
The rules and everything were so convoluted and so messed up that even the people at AMCO didn't really know what the rules were. So just cleaning that language up and streamlining the licenses, I'm really happy about.
Breweries are growing in popularity in Alaska. The number of breweries in the state was up to 53 in 2021 from just 20 a decade before, according to data from the Brewers Association. And there are more cropping up each year, including in Sterling, where a new operation has plans to join the ranks of four other Central Peninsula operations. The newly greenlit rules will loosen some current restrictions for brewery tap rooms like Hoag's. Those are the tasting rooms where customers can sit and drink the beer that the breweries make. And beginning in 2024, they'll be able to stay open an extra hour until 9 p.m. instead of 8. Breweries can also get up to 4 permits a year to host live music, which is currently banned. Those new rules don't come without trade-offs. One is a controversial provision that limits how many tap rooms are allowed in a municipality based on its population. Before, the rule was one alcohol business license per every 3,000 residents. That's still true for breweries, bars, and distilleries, but for tap rooms, the limit will be much stricter, at one license for every 9,000 residents. Current tap rooms are grandfathered in, and the legislation does say there could be more allowed after 2030. Many brewers like Hoag agree. It's a compromise.
For most small communities, that pretty much shuts down any expansion. So that's something we would like to see, change down the road. But it wasn't something that was worth bagging the whole bill for.
For a city like Soldotna, with fewer than 5,000 residents, the new limits would allow one tap room. But Hoag says Kenai River Brewing Spot could open up, leaving space for another. He'd like to transfer his license to a restaurant license. And under the new regulations, he could do that and still sell the beer he makes in-house. That potential for new business opportunities excites Sarah Oates. She leads CHAR, the statewide association that represents bars in Alaska's hospitality industry.
Another important component of the bill is it not only creates more certainty for businesses and flexibility for businesses, but it also facilitates state proactive education by the state on what the expectations and requirements are of businesses, of consumers.
She says the new rules will also overhaul regulation enforcement so that the penalties for violators more accurately fit the crimes. Machiki and other advocates of the bill cheered Sunday as the Alaska House gave it the thumbs up at a floor session. Oates was there.
I cried. Numerous people in the steering committee cried. But it was also especially emotional because this was a huge win for Alaska's hospitality industry after 2 years of, pandemic madness and uncertainty.
Anchorage Republican Representative James Kaufman carried the bill on the House floor. He called the bill an every interest bill, citing input from across the industry and advocates for public safety.
As a great example for the legislature, factions that started out this process 180 degrees out from each other got to a point where each of them have repeatedly provided formal support on the record.
Now that the bill has cleared the House and Senate, it will head to Governor Mike Dunleavy for final approval. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
Denali National Park is still melting out from its snowiest winter season in 99 years of record keeping. According to the National Park Service, the agency headquarters received 173 inches of snow, besting the previous high mark of nearly 174 set in the winter of 1971. As KUAC's Dan Bross reports, the unusually heavy and late lingering snow is affecting park wildlife.
Denali National Park is resuming full summer operations as of Friday, May 20th, but Park Public Affairs Officer Sharon Steitler says conditions along the park road are lagging behind the calendar.
It definitely looks like winter when you're out at about mile 10 and you're looking out into the tundra. I mean, it's still very snow covered.
As of Sunday, there was still 33 inches of snow on the ground at park headquarters, by far the most on record so late in the season. But Steitler says the onset of warmer temperatures this week has accelerated melting.
There are more areas to be able to walk along the sides of the road, but we still have places where drifts are quite high or where we've had snow plowed. And I'm 5 foot tall, and some of those drifts are taller than me.
Steitler says the heavy snowpack dented some agency truck cabs and damaged a pedestrian bridge at Savage River, and more significantly, stressed wildlife, resulting in more animals on the road this spring.
Bears are using the road as our moose. Last week, we did have a moose on the park road who gave birth to twins.
Steitler says the two calves have since died, noting that moose are in general very weak from the deep snow, but with so much still on the ground, the extent of the moose die-off is unclear.
We're anticipating more carcasses coming through as the snow melts. And we're keeping a close eye on it, especially if some of those carcasses are along the park road or in areas where we know visitors are going to frequent.
Meanwhile, a portion of the park road in the Sable Pass area has been closed to cyclists due to bear traffic.
We're having more and more bears show up along that stretch of roadway because that's one of the spots where they can go to dig up roots right now and get food. We don't want to habituate the bears to bicycles, and we definitely don't want anyone encountering a curious bear while they're out bike riding.
Park shuttle and tour bus operations resume this weekend, although they'll only be traveling as far as mile 43, where the road is closed because of the Pretty Rocks landslide. The park's visitor center will be open to the public for the first time since 2019, and sled dog kennel tours are resuming in what is the kennel's 100th anniversary year. In Fairbanks, I'm Dan Bross.
And as for the weather, it's 61 degrees and overcast. Tonight will be a low around 37 degrees with 10 to 15 mile an hour winds. Tomorrow is expected to be sunny with a high of 66 and a low of 43. Friday and the weekend may also be sunny. This is KTOO.